You're listening to KPFT 90.1 FM Houston.
You have the emergence in human society of this thing that's called the state. What is the state? The state is this organized bureaucracy. It is the police department. It is the army, the navy. It is the prison system, the courts, and what have you. This is the state. It is a repressive organization. But the state, and you, well, you know, you've got to have the police, because if there were no police, look at what you'd be doing to yourselves. You'd be killing each other if there were no police. But the reality is, the police become necessary in human society. Only at that juncture in human society, where it is split between those who have and those who ain't got.
I throw a Molotov cocktail at the precinct. You know how we think. Organize the hood under our ching banners. Red, black, and green instead of gang bandanas. FBI spying on us through the radio antennas. And I'm hitting cameras in the streetlight watching society. With no respect for the people's right to privacy. I take a slug for the cause like Huey P. While all you fake niggas try to copy Master P. I wanna be free to live, able to have what I need to live. Bring the power back to the street where the people live. We sick of working for crumbs and filling up the prisons. Dying over money and relying on religion for help. We do for self like ants in a colony. Organize the wealth into a socialist economy. A way of life based off the common needs. And all my comrades is ready, he just spreading the seed.
The average black male live a third of his life in a jail cell. Cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice. And the women don't never get respected. And the problems don't never get solved. And the jobs don't never pay enough. So the rent always be late. Can you relate?
No more bondage, no more political monsters, no more secret space launches. Government departments started it in the projects. Material objects, thousands up in the closets. Could have been invested in the future for my comrades. Battle contacts, primitive weapons out in combat. Many never come back, pretty niggas be running with gas. Rather get shot in they back than fire back. We tired of that, corporations hiring blacks. Denying the facts, exploiting us all over the map. That's why I write the shit I write in my raps. It's documented, I meant it. Every day of the week, I live in it, breathing it. It's more than just fucking believing it. I'm holding in ones, rolling up my sleeves and shit. It's C-Lo for push-ups now. Many headed for one conclusion. Niggas ain't ready for revolution.
The average black male live a third of his life in a jail cell. Cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice. And the women don't never get respected. And the problems don't never get solved. And the jobs don't never pay enough. So the rent always be late. Can you relate? We living in a police state.
Bienvenidos, Houston. You are listening to Sexto Sol on 90.1 FM KPFT in Houston. I am your host, Ernesto Aguilar, and we are back again for another of our monthly editions of Radio Cop Watch, a program where we talk about policing issues in the city of Houston. And tonight we're going to be talking about policing issues within the state of Texas. I hopefully have Diane on the line. Diane, can you hear me?
Yeah, sure can.
Beautiful. Diane is actually calling in. Diane of Cop Watch is calling in direct from Austin, a little bit snowed and iced on in from Austin to talk to us a little bit about Monday's lobby day, in which we had over almost 500 people, about 450, would you say?
Yeah.
So almost 500 people who came out to lobby on issues of criminal justice and wanted to bring Diane on the line and talk a little bit about this issue. Diane, can you tell people a little bit about what the premise of Lobby Day was and why people came together and just kind of the diversity of groups that came around this issue of criminal justice and reform lobbying? And before you answer that question, let me let people know we're going to be talking about legislation that's coming on up. If you want to give us a call at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, you're welcome to participate in the dialogue. Also, if you would like to learn more about your legislators, you can check out HoustonCopWatch.org, or if you don't have internet access, you can call us here at the station and give me your zip code, and I'll go ahead and straighten you out as far as your legislator and who that person is. Diane, go for it.
Okay, this was an awfully exciting event that we just came up and participated in. Of course, we're still stuck here, but it's okay. They had a lobby day. It was actually a two-day event. We spent one day studying how to be lobbyists. Pretty much, it's a grassroots effort. There were, I don't know how many groups, over a dozen groups, joined together in this coalition to give us education and how to go in and lobby our legislators. I learned a lot of information that I was not aware of, such as we have a lot of power when we go in as just voters, especially if we're going to the office of our own representatives and our own senators. It carries a lot of weight. We have to go and we have to talk to these folks and get these bills passed. It takes a long time to get a bill through the House, through the Senate, and passed as a law. So we've just really got to get out there and go visit these folks, write them letters. Handwritten letters are very powerful. I know most people want to do everything on a computer, but write them letters and ask them to vote in specific directions for bills that are going before the House and the Senate so that we can get the laws passed that we want.
Diane, I definitely want to get into the legislation, but as I'm hearing what you're saying right now, the first thing that I think of, which is typical, I think, of a lot of people who listen to KPFT, might be a little bit skeptical, and I think probably, to put it crudely, there are a lot of people who probably say, well, all these legislators are beholden to primarily their party or big lobbyists or whatever. They don't really care about what the voters think. What was the reaction that you got from legislators and their staff when you were out there?
I was received well by every person I spoke to. I went to seven different offices yesterday, and I spoke to just one legislator who was actually in the office, but I spoke to aides. I gave them fact sheets dealing with the different bills that I wanted them to vote yes for. I told them a little bit about, you know, my story. They said it's very important to tell them your story and who you are and what you're about, because we're the ones who vote for them. There are a lot of three-piece suits up there, you know, paid lobbyists who, that's what they do every day, day in, day out. And we have a lot of power that we don't realize we have because we're the voters. We're the ones that put them in office. We're the ones that keep them in office. We can, we have a lot of weight.
Now, what kind of legislation is coming up? Why should people care about this legislature? What laws are being proposed, and how will they affect people's everyday lives? And I guess probably the second question to that would be, who is there any opposition to these laws, and what should people be concerned about?
Well, the three particular bills that I went in to speak about and ask for support with was House Bill 414 by Representative Noriega from Houston to require a special prosecutor in cases of police misconduct. As we all in Harris County know, that Chuck Rosenthal hardly ever, if ever, files any kind of charges or indicts any officer for any wrongdoing. There's never any consequences to pay for their behavior. We need special prosecutors to come in and try these cases so that the DAs who work with the police in other cases don't alienate them by holding them accountable for their own behavior. We need a special prosecutor. That's dire. That is so needed that I can't even stress that enough. And Noriega's office was very thankful to have us come in as support in this, and asked for more people to stand up in support of this. There's a huge lobby. The police union, the DAs are going in and trying to squash this bill. And we need to let them know that we want them to support this bill. We do not want this bill squashed. This is for us, the people. And we've got to stand up and say, we want this bill. Please pass this bill.
Why do police unions and the DAs and all these other folks want this bill stopped? Can you break down some history in terms of why this bill came to pass?
Well, I mean, it's just notorious that in any police department, if there's an issue where a police officer is being charged with a crime, it very seldom ever follows through. I mean, the prosecutors won't prosecute them. Grand juries will no-bill them. They're too close, too related to each other. They can't police themselves. And so we just need someone from outside the area to step in and prosecute these cases. Then they have no connection to any political system that's at a local level. They have no connection to the judges. They have no connection to the police officers that are in your local areas. They come in from an outside source and they prosecute those cases.
One of the things I want to remind people is that if you need to find information about your legislator, you can check out HoustonCopWatch.org. I know we have some information on the website about the legislation that you're talking about, and also a means for people to find out who their legislator is if they want to write a letter, put a phone call in, or whatever else. If you don't have internet access, give us a call here at the station, 713-526-5738, and we'll go ahead and hook you on up. Diane, what other legislation did you get an opportunity to talk to lawmakers about? I know there's one apparently about the Tulia case. Can you tell people about what that case was and what legislation has been the result of what happened?
Well, the Tulia case is still ongoing. There's a lot going on with that. But what they're trying to do is to pass a bill to require corroborating evidence in undercover drug stings. That way, no one individual officer can be the whole entire case, be the witness, the officer. You know, they need corroborating evidence from credible witnesses or credible sources to back up any charges they bring forth in a drug sting. Tulia, my goodness, you know, 10% of the population there was put in prison from one officer's testifying that, you know, they were all selling drugs. And things came forward where people were at work at times that he said they were selling him drugs. Some people were out of state at a bank, making bank deposits at the time that, you know, he said they were selling him drugs. There are quite a few other incidents. There's Hearn, Floresville, Dallas, Live Oak County, and elsewhere all over Texas where these same kind of cases have come up where one officer has pretty much, and you know, arrested a lot of people just based on his word and his evidence, and later on it's been proven that the evidence or the word was false.
And I know, especially with the Tulia case, you're looking at the most of the people, virtually all the people who were accused were black. You have individuals in Houston, Pedro Aragon is a good example, who was Latino and was accused of being a drug dealer based on very, very shoddy evidence. So this legislation represents another stepping stone, if you will, for police to have to reach before they can go ahead and execute these very big police types of operations. Am I correct on that?
That's correct. Yes. Plus, the thing is that they're wasting a lot of our taxpayers' money to go and supposedly investigate these cases. The testimony falls apart, the evidence falls apart because there is no corroboration. If it doesn't fall apart, then people are put in prison, you know, unjustly. So there are a lot of issues revolving around this particular bill. This is a very important bill, too. It's a step toward better justice in our criminal justice system.
It's definitely a step in the right direction. Now, can you mention the third bill that's brought a lot of attention?
Okay, the third bill is House Bill 801, abolish the Byrne Grant-funded regional narcotics task forces. Pretty much that was the money that paid for the scandals in Tulia and Hearn with one officer carrying on a bust and making up evidence, basically. It's put a lot of innocent people in prison. It's wasted a lot of taxpayer dollars, and it's ruined the lives of a lot of innocent people who were either put in prison, their families, their children. The ripple effect is quite huge. It's been proven that different agents have tampered with evidence. They've falsified documents. They've stolen drugs. They've dealt drugs. They've transported drugs, and they've given drugs to minors. So this is a very important bill to pass as well. There are quite a few here that are coming into the legislature that are quite important for us to just ask them, please vote yes on these bills. That's all we have to do is ask them to vote yes on these bills, tell them why, tell them what our story is, and if they don't do it, we don't vote for them. We vote for somebody else.
Do you think that there's going to be some movement in the legislature in a positive direction on these bills? What's the sense that you got from this?
The sense I got from this was that 2 years ago, they did this lobby day, and there were quite a few people working on some things that made some huge steps in our legislature. So, yes, there can be very positive changes come about by just us people, just us going up to Austin, going into their regional office right at home, go to your neighborhood office, wherever your representative is, and go in and visit them. Come to Austin. Come visit them here. Just try to avoid the ice. Don't get stuck here, but, you know.
Well, Austin's not necessarily a bad place to be stuck, so.
No, it's not. It's great. I'm at my daughter's house. It's all good.
Hey, no doubt. You are listening to Sex of the Soul at 90.1 FM KPFT. We are doing our monthly installment of Radio Copwatch, a installment where we talk about policing issues and how they affect the community. We have Diane, and we'll bring on Larry in just a few minutes from Copwatch to talk about the lobby day that happened on Monday, bills that are coming up that directly affect policing issues all over the state of Texas, not just in Houston, but all over the state of Texas. Some of the resistance that different activists and grassroots organizations have met, as well as how you can get involved in having a say around this legislation. Dan, we're going to go ahead and take a real quick break for just a second. Maybe play some music, and then maybe we can bring on Larry, and we can talk about some of his perspectives on some of this. How does that sound?
Yeah, I'll pass it on to him.
Cool deal. Well, let's go.
It's been an awesome weekend, and we hope to share all this information with anybody who wants to know.
Good deal. Can you give out the CopWatch number if people want to get copies of fact sheets or whatever else?
If you want to go to the CopWatch website, it's www.houstoncopwatch.org. If you need to call me under the message line, it's 713-559-1359.
Cool. Well, let's go ahead and take a real quick break, and we will be right back after this.
Yeah. It's all good, man. We off in the Oakland Hills, dodging the one time. Check it out.
If you got beef with COPs, throw a Molotov at the PIGs, cause they be harassing you and me. You gotta understand that we still not free. If you got beef with COPs, throw a Molotov at the PIGs, cause they be harassing you and me. You gotta understand that we still not free.
Trust the police, no justice, no peace. They got me face down in the middle of the street. Pistol with me with the heat. Chicken shit sizzling, trying to serve me with the all you can eat. Murder beat. I'm a young black heterosexual male. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't sell. That's the real reason why they want me up in jail. They want me to fail. I resist and rebel. See, I give a fuck about the COP, PIGs. I wanna lock and shake them like a PIT. Cause they wanna see me DIE. Tommy Cash under my eye. OG, dark Soviet, socialist, bitches, venomous, phobias, homophobe, total, holding it down for open. Flows through all these smoking and the shit we doing, we hoping. So just to notice and get promoted to throw a Molotov music.
You got beef with COP, throw a Molotov at the PIGs, cause they be harassing you and me. You gotta understand that we still not free. If you got beef with COPs, throw a Molotov at the PIGs, cause they be harassing you and me. You gotta understand that we still not free.
Word. been awarded the state on the corner with cake. If they send an undercover and you took the bait, huh? Next time I see him with no hesitation, I'm peeling off like stolen registration and leave a jar of smoke. See him the side of that they've been hunting since my mama fucking water broke. Cause they the henchmen, ah, they the lynchmen. Between the rich and poor, so we don't entrench them. Cause they dispense with the dollars and cents. So when you stand, go be candles, flowers, and incense. Behind steel gates, it's 50 cent an hour bill rates. Up in Clinton, making microchips for Bill Gates. Pelican Bay, t-shirts for the workout. Police station where the slave catchers work out. The thunder out, no more taking thunder out. We'll synchronize and give them shit to wonder about. The DA is guilty, you're not guilty. We need control of the cash and the realty. And get rid of all the motherfucking parasites. Molding weed, burning 420 Fahrenheit. Shaking in their boots when we start to bust. They ain't scared of rap music, they scared of us.
If you got me,
we are back. You are listening to Sexto Sol on 90.1 FM KPFT in Houston. This is Ernesto Aguilar doing our monthly segment called Radio Cop Watch, where we talk about policing issues as they relate to the community. Welcoming members of Houston Cop Watch into the studio to talk about these topics. However, we have Cop Watch members direct from Austin. So we've got Larry on the line to talk to us a little bit about the recent lobby day that happened here. Actually, recent, as of yesterday, happened in Austin, where different grassroots organizations and activists went to Austin to talk about different bills that are coming up through the legislature. Larry, how are you doing this evening?
I'm quite well. Actually managing to stay warm.
Good. How is Austin anyway? I just saw in the news that it was pretty messed up. Weather.
Well, the weather's been kind of a drizzly, sleety, freezing, nastiness that they did give us an advisory until like 10, which they, about 9 o'clock, they extended to about 8 o'clock in the morning. So I'm not sure. We're looking at some slick roads for the next 12 hours anyway, I think. But we're going to try to make it out tomorrow sometime, hopefully. But
wow.
It's pretty nasty. It's pretty nasty up here.
Sounds like it.
I'm not used to this much winter.
I'm sure. Can you tell people a little bit about some of the organizations that came out to this lobby day? As I mentioned at the top of the show, there were almost 400 people there, or almost 500, rather. There were 450 people, almost 500, probably a little bit over 450. Can you tell people a little bit about the diversity of organizations and different types of people and groups and such that all came to this type of event?
Well, there was about a group of about a dozen people from just from Tulia, representing that town and the problems that happened there. There was also a delegation of people from Dallas representing the Dallas Sheetrock scandal, which I don't know if you've heard about, but apparently about half of the so-called cocaine seized in Dallas in 2002, I believe it was, turned out to be sheetrock crushed up and planted on illegal immigrants in order to arrest them and hassle them. And they're going through some big changes through that. It was sponsored by almost 20 organizations, including the Texas Criminal Justice Reform Committee, League of Women Voters of Texas, ACLU of Texas, Houston Ministers Against Crime, NAACP Voters Fund, Texas League of United Latin American Citizens, LULAC. As you can see, it's a very wide-ranging, far-reaching coalition that is really working to help empower people. And it is incredibly empowering, incredibly empowering. I mean, one of the first things they said to us in the training on Saturday was, as Diane said, they see these three-piece suits come in every day, these lobbyists that are paid, basically, to come in and sell a product. What they don't see is citizens coming in, taking times off their out of their jobs, out of their days, and presenting their stories. That's the most important thing, is to tell your own story, make it personal to them. Voters are very important. You're very important to your legislator if you vote. And if you, as a voter, go and visit them and present an issue to them, they're going to pay attention to you. And chances are they're going to pay a lot more attention to you than they will to a suit that's getting paid to do that.
You just touched on my initial question, which was, did you get any kind of help in terms of learning what to talk about with legislators, or any advice on how to present different ideas? I guess I ask this because there are probably some listeners out there that heard Diane talking about some of the legislation that's coming up that's going to affect policing and criminal justice in Texas, and they say, I want to write a letter, but people sit in front of a piece of paper and they think, what do I write about, or what do I want them to support this bill, but I don't know what to say, I don't know how to write it. What kind of advice do they give you all going to lobby with these legislators?
Well, it's always best to have some knowledge of the bill you're writing about, and it helps, especially, as I said earlier, if you have a personal interest in this bill, if you have a personal story to tell, include that. That counts for a lot. Basically, a lot of common sense information. Know where your legislation is and the bill number. You need to know when your legislator will vote on your legislation. Be yourself. Just talk about what you know. If they ask you questions you don't know about, tell them you don't know. You'll be able to get back to them with try to get back to them with an answer. Boil down what you need to say to about 2 or 3 minutes. Don't get sidetracked. Just basically get used to saying, I don't know, but I will get back to you. Because I'm sure they're going to be asking you questions that you don't have the answer to right offhand. But let them know that you will get back to them, and more importantly, do get back with them. If you meet with them in person, next day if possible, write a handwritten letter. More important, write a handwritten letter, just acknowledging your visit, thanking them for your help, for their help, things like that. Be sure and visit with them at the start of the legislative session, not towards the end. The earlier you are in the session, the less tired they are of seeing people coming in asking for favors, whether it's lobbyists or voters. The earlier you come in, the more pleasant you are to see. Also, we were told that it's very important, and it makes a big impression, if you visit your legislator's local office, your district office. You don't have to go all the way to Austin to lobby. You can go to the district office, speak to aides and people there. What's especially powerful, we've heard, is if you can get a group of 4 or 5 people to go in and talk about an issue, and if each one of you have a story to tell, that's something. As soon as you leave that office, they're going to be on the phone to your legislator, calling them up and telling them about it. And it's going to make a big impression. And it's something you can do without having to go all the way to Austin.
This whole thing sounds a little bit intimidating, though. Is it intimidating to go into these offices with very, very powerful people?
Actually, no, it's not. Just remember, they're just people just like you and I. And they want to see you, honestly. They're politicians. Especially early in the session, they want to see you. They want to know that, you know, you're out there paying attention to what they do and that it interests you, and that if you let them know that, you know, they're doing your job, and you appreciate they're doing your job, and you appreciate they're listening to you when you have when you bring them an issue, it's going to go a lot in your favor. It really is. And dang, we got to meet just briefly with one senator. Actually, it was Rick Noriega, who was sponsoring 414 about the special prosecutor bill.
How did he feel about the support? Because Diane touched on it a little bit. I know he's got to be under fire introducing legislation where they're appointing a special prosecutor over police misconduct.
Basically, they were telling us to contact the office and give them your support. They're getting a lot of opposition from police unions and prosecutors and things like that, and they're not getting near enough support. So especially if anybody lives in District 145 and Representative Noriega's district, call up his office. Tell him you're behind this bill. Tell him to keep fighting. Tell him to fight the good fight. Tell him that you're getting out. Get out the word and tell him you're getting out the word. Even if you're not in his district, call up his office and give him your support. Any of these bills, we made a point after we visited our own representatives from our own districts, we made a point of going to representatives who sponsored some of these bills that we're supporting, and just to thank them for sponsoring the bills, you know. And they seemed appreciative of that as well. They want to know that what they're doing is getting some support. It'll give them that much more impetus to fight for it where they are.
And again, if people are wondering if they're in Representative Noriega's district or any district, you can check out HoustonCopWatch.org, or if you don't have internet access, give us a call here at the station, 713-526-5738. Give us your zip code and we'll go ahead and get you connected to your representative so you can get in touch with them. Larry, I wanted to get your perspective on this whole issue of whether you get in touch with representatives or not and what real impact it has. I talked to Diane about it real briefly. And put simply, we have people who are lobbyists. We have people who are beholden to their parties for whatever reason. And I think the perspective of the public just generally is that why would these representatives care what I think? Because what if I'm not in their party, or what if I'm not a lobbyist? What does it really even matter what I say or do? How do you respond to something like that?
If you're a voter, your opinion matters, especially if you're in their district. That's about all I can say. We got all sorts of feedback from staffers and from people that just basically worked with us up there that showing up as a private citizen really, really carries a lot of weight. Like I said, these lobbyists get paid for what they're doing. They're beholden to their paycheck. They're not beholden to an idea. They're not beholden to anything but money. You get a private citizen that comes in who has a personal story to tell, who will be affected by whether or not a certain bill is passed, that this bill would have a direct impact on this person. You just go in there and tell your story as honestly and as plainly as you can. That makes an effect. That makes an effect. It really does. I honestly believe they're a lot more likely to listen to you if you have a personal story to tell than they are if you're being paid to come in and basically push a product.
You are listening to KPFT 90.1 FM, KPFT in Houston. You are listening to Sexto Sol. Our monthly installment is Radio Capuch. We're talking with Larry, who is holed up in Austin right now after a successful lobby day on Monday. Larry, where can people learn more about this legislation? What do you recommend people should be doing to educate themselves about these topics?
Best thing I can say is, well, you know, go to the website. Go to the Houston Cop Watch website. You've done a great job of putting some links to these bills and other things. As far as finding other bills, there's a I'm not sure. I don't have the website right offhand as far as getting to government documents, but there is a government website that you can get to find state government documents, bills that are up for legislation and things like that. I don't have the address with me right now. I'm sure you could get it easily enough. What was the rest of your question?
I was going to actually had another question, which was of the stories that you heard while you were out there on Lobby Day, was there anything that really struck you personally or something that you heard of and you thought was really inspiring?
Well, it wasn't any single thing so much as a combination of things. Sunday night afterwards, they had a spoken word thing at an Indian restaurant just down the street from the Capitol, and basically poets and songwriters writing about their own experiences and reciting those experiences, I found very moving. Basically, again, you're just talking about personal stories. If a personal story works on you, it's going to work on the on your legislator. And those that's really what hit me most emotionally, most got to me and hit me in my heart was these people are eloquent. I mean, they're just ordinary people, but you hear their stories and it's just eloquent. It's heartrending. And that's the most powerful thing we've got going now, I think, is our stories.
Could you reiterate the letter writing advice that you gave people? I guess put it in your own handwriting and tell your own story. What other things would you recommend if someone wants to send a letter in or wants to arrange a visit with their legislator? Could you just give that information again?
Basically, be somewhat familiar with the bill you're talking about. Again, give your story of why you want that bill passed. Be yourself in your letter, just like you would be if you're meeting them in person. And again, the more contacts you make, the better. We were told that they probably won't even remember your name until after about the seventh contact, and that includes face-to-face meetings, letters, phone calls, things like that. But once you start making kind of a regular contact with your legislator or his office, at least, pretty soon they'll be knowing you by when you call and be able to talk to you about your problems and pull up things that they might have on file, and it's just a matter of making contact with your legislator, with your legislative office, and building a relationship with them.
The organizations that you ran into there at Lobby Day indicate how long long something like that takes? Because I know we tend to deal with kind of this fast food culture in a manner of speaking, and people kind of assume that they'll go ahead and go in and they'll have this wonderful relationship with their legislator and get a bill passed or whatever else. It's not always that simple, I would presume.
No, basically, like I said, it was several contacts before they'll start remembering you. We didn't really get a sense of how long it would take for a bill to pass, to go through. It depends on the bill. Some go faster than others. It depends on the support. The more support you can get out there, the better it'll do. And again, don't just try to do this all by yourself. I mean, the best way to do it is to get your friends to call in, get other people to start writing letters. The more people that are doing this, the better. The more people that focus on one issue, the better. Like I said, if you get a group of four or five people together and go to your local district office, that makes a big impression.
I'm sure it does. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT in Houston. Radio Copwatch is our monthly installment of Sexto Soul, where we talk about policing issues and how they affect the community in Houston. We're talking with Larry from Houston Cop Watch, who is calling in tonight from Austin, a little bit snowed under the weather, or iced under the weather, so to speak, to talk about Monday's Lobby Day and how that went. We're going to take a real quick music break and come back, Larry, and maybe talk about where people need to be directing their energies in terms of other legislation that might be coming up, and basically how people can get involved in affecting some real change from a statewide level. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back after this.
Yeah. Yeah. We sell crack to our own out the back of our homes. We smell the musk of the dusk and the crack of the dawn. We go through episodes too, like Attack of the Clones. Work till we break a bag and you hear the crack of the bone. To get by, just to get by, just to get by, just to get by. We commute the computer, spirits stay mute while your ego spread rumors. We survivalists turn to consumers. Just to get by, just to get by, just to get by, just to get by. Why some people gotta live in the trailer? Cause like a sailor, I paint a picture with a pen like Norman Mailer. Me and Weller raised three daughters all by herself with no help. I think about the struggle and I find the strength of myself. These words melt in my mouth, they hot like the jail cell in the south. Before my nigga core bailed me out. To get by, just to get by, just to get by, just to get by. Do or die like Best Star. See the red sky out the window of the red eye. Let the lead fly. Some G-Rap shit, living the lead die. Smoke trees and we stay drunk. Yo, activism attacking the system. The blacks and Latins in prison. Numbers in prison. They victim black in the vision. Shit and all they got is rapping to listen to. I let them know we missing you. The love is unconditional. Even when the condition is critical. When the living is miserable. Your position is pivotal. I ain't bullshitting you now. Why would I lie? Just to get by. Just to get by. We get fly. The TV got us reaching for stars. Not the ones between Venus and Mars. The ones that be reading for parts. So people get breath to hands with that. Saturday, Sunday, Sunday morning at the feet of the Father. They need something to rely on. We get high on all types of drugs. When all you really need is love. To get by, just to get by, just to get by, just to get by. My pants sing like John Lennon. Imagine all the people watch me rock like Paul McCartney from now until the last Beatle drop. What?
Is definitely the song. That's Talib Kweli off Quality, new, brand new record from Talib. And you are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT in Houston. Sexto Soul is the program, our monthly installment, Radio Cop Watch, where we talk about community policing issues and how they relate now to the state of Texas. I believe, Larry, you still there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good, good, good. Can you tell people maybe about some of the other legislation that's going on right now and legislators' interest in sponsoring legislation having to do with policing? I know stuff like that's unpopular in a lot of areas, but can you give me a feel and give the listeners a feel in terms of is that supported? Are they interested?
At least their aides were expressing a great deal of interest when we were talking to them. How that might translate on up the line, I'm not sure. Diane covered pretty much most of the bills that are police-related that are actual bills that are actually in progress right now. We also have proposals out there, one of them for lower sentences for low-level nonviolent offenders, which is, you know, that's an obvious obvious reason for that. And we've got too many, and we're already starting to fill up prisons that we built in the last several years because they were getting filled up. So now these are getting filled up, and so basically, one of the solutions for that would be to not put in people into prison that don't belong there. And that's one of the things that this proposal is going after. Also, one of the victories of the last lobbying effort in 2001 was the passage of the Texas Fair Defense Act, which actually started to bring Texas up with the rest of the country as far as defendants' rights. Court-appointed lawyers and that sort of thing. And we're working on strengthening this act to prohibit prosecutors from approaching any unrepresented defendant to seek a waiver of counsel, to increase the share of court filing fees earmarked to offset county indigent defense costs, to distribute state indigent defense funds based upon poverty population in each county, enable any defendant to post a 10% cash bond in lieu of a 10% surety bond, and to require minimum trial experience and peer approval of attorneys in capital cases. That's so you don't get appointed an attorney who is incompetent and falling asleep while defending your life, which happens far too often here in Texas. Again, that's just some of the things that are proposed right now. There are things all the time going on in the Capitol. You basically just need to do some research and find out what bills might interest you.
And I think the Texas Criminal Justice Reform Coalition does a lot of legislative work. I believe their website is www.protex.org/criminal justice. And I know they organized this year's lobby day and have been organizing them several years in a row, and hopefully we'll be organizing one come next legislative session. What was the perspective from people that you talked to, Larry, who actually came for this lobby day? Is it something that they'll be doing again and again? How did everybody come out of that?
Just about everybody we spoke to were very positive about it, very enthusiastic about it, and very interested in keeping it up, coming back, and opening up continuing relationships with their legislators. It's just, like I said, it's incredibly empowering to be able to walk into the Capitol building and walk into the office of your legislator and at least meet with an aide who is going to listen to your ideas and your opinions. And it's just, I never had any idea I could do that as a private citizen. And to be able to do that as a private citizen is incredibly empowering. And I think everybody that votes should get out there and do it. I don't care if you're liberal, conservative, whatever. If you're unhappy with the way things are being run in Austin or even in Washington, D.C., get up, do something. Go talk to your legislators. Go talk to your representatives. Go talk to them. Create a relationship and let them know what you think. And they will listen. They will listen because they really do want your vote. And that's one way they'll get it, is they can, if they listen to you.
That's interesting. Did you have a particular attitude when you came into this? I know when I hear something like that, my first thought is, these legislators really don't care. But you say that they really, really do.
Well, I get that attitude because of what we've been told by the people that led us through this process, the people that have been here before, the people that have been doing lobbying on their own and have seen bills go through that they've been pushing for. I tend to trust them. They said that what they were doing worked, and that their opinions actually did matter to their representatives, and that the more that they worked at it, that they could start to see results. Sure. I mean, I know that if I was an elected representative and somebody from my district came into my office and wanted to talk to me, I'd want to make sure I made them happy so that I'd have at least that one vote come the next November that I'm up for re-election. It's just human nature.
Any final thoughts, Larry? And then when you have some your final thoughts, could you pass the line over to Diane? I'd like to get her some comments from her and about what she has to sum up in terms of this event.
My sum up, basically, get out there and do it. It's incredibly empowering. If you can't make it to Austin, go to your local district office. There are aides and people there you can talk to that will get word to your representatives. And when they don't have time to get information themselves, the aides can get them the information. It's very important. Very important. If you don't get a chance to talk to your legislator in person, talk to an aide who deals with the case that you're interested in. And that's really basically it. Get out there and become your own lobbyist. That's my advice.
Great. Well, the representatives don't change the direction they're going until we start speaking up.
Exactly. And they won't hear you unless you do speak up.
Indeed. No doubt about that.
And here comes Diane, and she'll tell you what she's about to say right now.
Go ahead.
I'm in the background saying if we don't speak up, they don't know what we want.
True.
If we count on lobbyists to go tell them what to vote for, then we're letting corporate America, basically, because these are the folks that hire lobbyists, we're letting corporate America, we're letting the unions, we're letting other people speak for us, and we need to speak for ourselves.
True enough. Are there any other thoughts that you might have and anything that you want to impart to someone who might be a little intimidated by this whole process?
Well, I was intimidated by it myself. I'd never done this. And after sitting through 3 hours of workshop, seminar, class, whatever you want to call it, giving us tons of information on how to go do this, I felt quite comfortable, went to 7 different offices yesterday, and I plan to come back, spend a few more days up here before this session gets halfway through so that I can speak to some other folks about some other bills I would like to see passed.
Sounds really great. Diane, can you definitely thank Larry for all the time this evening? I'm sorry you all are stuck with all the bad weather, but I'm really happy that this lobby day seemed to have gone very, very well.
Oh, it was great, and we're stuck in a good place, so we're safe and sound and warm, and we have food.
Hey, can't beat that.
Really, so, but yes, and I want to thank everybody out there listening, and you know, get with us. If you want more information on this, call our line, 713-559-1359. We'll get back with you. Go to the website, HoustonCopWatch.org. We've got information we're willing to share.
Good deal. Diane, thanks very much for all the time this evening.
Okay.
You take it easy.
See you when we get back.
Pardon? Good deal.
We'll see you when we get back.
Good deal. Stay warm.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Bye.
And And that's about going to wrap it up for this edition of Sexto Sol on 90.1 FM KPFT in Houston. You have been listening to our monthly installment of Radio Cop Watch, where we talk about policing issues in the city of Houston as they relate to all of our communities. As we pointed out on the very first installment of Radio Cop Watch, Latinos are very, very much affected by police and shootings and misconduct. And so we wanted to add this as an important segment of this program, so much so that we wanted to go ahead and make it monthly. So we wanted to go ahead and make sure that that is part of the program. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening. Next week, we will have Jorge Mariscal on the program. Jorge is a professor at the University of California. He just wrote a great essay on Chicanos in the military and how we are serving in disproportionate numbers. He's going to be talking about Mexicanos and resistance to the war, resistance to the war in Vietnam back in the 60s and the 70s, as well as current actions by various Latino organizations against the current military buildup in Iraq. Great, great guest. He's going to have a lot of wonderful things to say. Thank you. Thank you. That's Stacy. In 2 weeks, we will have Riali Robinson from the Hip Hop Congress, who will be here on the show, and he'll be talking about hip hop consciousness and community and how those things relate to our struggles for liberation. In a few more weeks, just to kind of give a preview, in April, we'll have Luis Rodriguez, who wrote La Vida Loca, still running. Great, great book. He'll be talking about healthcare issues. And that is pretty much it for this program. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening. And stay tuned for Stacy coming on up next. Thanks for listening.
Don't miss the launch of the fifth anniversary season of Nuestra Palabra Latino.